Good morning.
Good morning.
Grace to you and peace from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And may the power of the Holy Spirit remind us that what we believe in is so very important, especially the world we live in today, right? Who would think that a religion would cause, religion quote unquote, would cause such violence and death and destruction in Paris over a weekend in the name of their God? Who would have thought? Some of the things we're seeing in our world today would be occurring. But who is on the throne? Our God, the Lord Jesus Christ, is still on the throne. And He knows very well what's going on. He's not caught by surprise. It makes Him sad, obviously. And He stores the tears of all God's people in His heart. And it breaks God's heart to see what the world He's created. You know, when you've made something and then you see somebody else abuse it, or maybe you lived in a house for a long time and you've got it all fixed up, and then you sell it and you go somewhere else, and you say, let's drive by the old house. Why did they get rid of that tree? Well, they took all the grass out and put that stupid rock in there. Don't they know? And it's not yours anymore. And maybe it's all run down, and they got junk cars in the driveway and oil's all over the place. Look what they did to our house. Oh, imagine even more how the Creator feels about the world He's created. And He says, I leave those people in charge, and look what they've done to my creation. But it is sad. But the promise is that there will be paradise restored, that God created everything perfect, and it will be perfect again. Where all evil will be wiped away eventually. And we have to hold on to that belief and remember that belief and remember what we believe in, right? That's a great song by a great group, the Newsboys. And it's a good reminder, what are the basics of our faith? Because as Pastor Rick said a lot, even pastors and teachers and churches are forgetting the basics, and they're going on to all these crazy ideas, and there's no balance in the church. So anyway, the theme for my sermon today is upside-down kingdom. Now, Pastor Rick usually has an icebreaker on Wednesday nights. So we have a great time there. Whenever I can make it, I just love it. Not just the food, although that certainly isn't a very much a blessing with the great cooks we have in our church on Wednesday night. My goodness. But Pastor Rick always has an icebreaker, which is a great idea. And it's usually around food. It can be all kinds of different food products, like your favorite dessert or appetizer or whatever. Well, this was dessert, and I was thinking about that. Besides the very infamous white cake and white icing that we like so much here, I thought, well, what else do I like? I baked Alaska. I've only had that twice in my life, but love it. But also, pineapple upside-down cake. And I wouldn't have a clue how to make it. I looked at the directions, I don't think that's going to work. And I started thinking, what's upside-down about pineapple upside-down cake? You don't turn the pineapple upside-down. They're just little rings. How do you know if they're upside-down or not? So I'll have to, maybe you can enlighten me later, what is upside-down in pineapple upside-down cake? Doesn't make sense to me. Well, in the kingdom of God, there's a lot of things that don't make sense to people. When Jesus says something or when He does something, He always seems to have His disciples scratching their head going, why did He do that? They've been with Him all this time, and they're leaving Judea, and they're going up the hills, and not just altitude-wise, but also spiritually, and the climax to Jesus' earthly ministry. They're heading up to Jerusalem. And what's going to happen in Jerusalem? Jesus is going to die. Excuse me. And His mood is getting more serious with every step He takes. As He gets closer to that cross, He becomes more resolute, more directed toward what is going to happen to Him, more serious perhaps. And He's leading the way. Which is a good thing to do, right? It's always nice to have Jesus leading the way, but you'd be surprised how many times churches forget that, councils forget that, and pastors have to remind councils or other leaders, now let's remember who's in charge here. Thank God we don't have to worry about that here, because the council is awesome. They remind us sometimes, who's in charge here? Who's in control? And thanks be to God that we have that mentality that we don't live by constitution and bylaws and church dogmas, but by the Word of God. The Holy Word of God and God's presence and the Holy Spirit and a risen Lord Jesus Christ that gives all the blessings we're going to talk about. So having said all that, Jesus is leading the way. And it says, as they were on their way to Jerusalem, with Jesus leading the way, and the disciples were astonished while those who believed were afraid. The disciples were astonished because, well, they just don't get it. They're going, wow, this guy, we just can't figure him out. I've never heard words by any rabbi like this before. Well, that's because he's the one and only begotten Son of God, right? You've never had a teacher like him because this is God in the flesh. So he certainly should be and is unique, and we'll talk about that in the Christmas season, that God sent the very best to us in his Son, right? So the disciples are getting astonished more and more, and the people around them are getting more afraid because they're talking about death. Not a most popular subject, you know, and it's getting more serious, and the people around starting to go, whoa, what's going on? And the mood's changing here. What happened to the party festive atmosphere here? All of a sudden we're talking about death, and that's scary. In fact, one time when Jesus was talking to his disciples, and they were going to go, and Jesus was going to raise Lazarus from the dead, he said, I'm going up there. And Thomas, always the optimist, said, well, let's just go and get over with him. Might as well go and die with him. How's that for a triumphant, victorious attitude? Because they knew the attitude, the mood was changing as they were heading toward Jerusalem. And again, he took the disciples aside, Jesus, the Bible says, and he told them what was going to happen to him. He said this over and over. Pastor Rick mentioned this in Mark. Mark, this isn't the first time they've talked about what's going to happen to Jesus, right? So it shouldn't be a shock to his disciples, but have you ever talked to your kids and go, hello, anybody home? Hello, did you hear me? Then repeat what I just said. What did I just tell? And not just kids, but sometimes we adults. Huh? What'd you say? Well, it's like you always say, you know what you say. Yeah, but I don't know if you know what I said. Well, Jesus has another one of those moments here, and he's telling the disciples what's going to happen. Part of what we, you know, were just saying about, this is the essence of Christianity. It's not follow Jesus, and he's your perfect example, although he is, and if you live like him, if you're a good person, you get to heaven. No, he is the perfect example, but he's the perfect substitute, more than example. He got into the game for you, takes your place, died for your sins, rose from the dead. That's what the gospel, that's the essence of Christianity. Again, once again, the basics are being forgotten. But so Jesus is telling him, now look, this is going to happen. We're going up to Jerusalem. And the Son of Man will be betrayed to the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They will condemn him to death, will hand him over to the Gentiles, who will mock him and spit on him, flog him and kill him. 3 days later, he will rise. This is the agenda. This is what's going to happen. This is the project to save the world. This is what it's all about. It's coming to a focal point. All these chapters in Mark are coming to this climax of Jesus' death and resurrection, where Jesus saves the world by an interesting way, an upside-down way, by death and death on a cross. How is that going to save the world? And the disciples just don't get it. So this is the gospel. We don't take the cross, no matter what size it is. This is certainly, well, that's heavier than I thought. My goodness. This certainly can remind people, you can't miss this, right? It's like some people have a fish in their car to someone like this little, you know, and with my eyesight the way it is, yeah, I get right up, oh, that's a fish, oh, that's a Christian. I thought it was a bug on there, but so whatever size it is, the cross is always supposed to be in front of us. We used to sing a song years ago, lift high the cross, lift it high, lift it up, focus on the cross, right? So that's what Christianity is all about. You don't take the cross out of Christianity. Just don't do it, right? Never, that's right. So Jesus had just said this, right? Serious, somber, astonishment, fear, death. Talk about death. Talk about Jesus dying on the cross. Here we go again, the disciples, changing the mood. Have you ever had a certain mood, atmosphere, and somebody's not really getting what's going on, and they just do something totally inappropriate in a real quiet moment? Maybe their phone goes off, or they want to tell a goofy joke. Like, this isn't really the time for this. This is kind of, you know what I mean? It's just out of the blue. It's not the time. Well, here we go. Because the disciples start arguing again. And this time, James and John, two of the leaders, who should know better, the sons of Zebedee, came to him and said, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask. Okay, Jesus is talking about his death. They're going to the city. He's going to die. The focus is on Jesus. Oh, no, he's going to die. Whoa, he's going to die? And then, oh, Jesus, we want you to do whatever we want. He's talking about giving him his life, right? Dying on the cross. And they go, do us, we want you to do us a big favor, and whatever we ask, you do for us. Like a little kid, right? And this isn't just any disciple. James and John, they were up there on the mountain of transfiguration with Peter and saw Moses, right? Saw Elijah, saw Jesus in all his glory. But this is human nature. Human nature, and that's why another testament, this is the authentic word of God, because they don't portray themselves in a very good light, do they? We've said that before. The disciples don't. And actually, Mama started this. James and John's mom was the one that started it. She came up to Jesus in the other gospel and said, oh, I want my sons to be your number one and number two when you get this great kingdom of yours. So first Mama came. She said something, and then the boys had enough courage. Yeah, you do whatever you want. What are you talking about? Who's Lord here? Right? You say the word Lord. Do you know what that means? Lord means supreme ruler who is in control of the command. Not you. You're not Lord. They're talking about they're the Lord, right? They're going, you just do whatever we want, Jesus. Did they not get anything by watching Jesus the way he lived, right? Me, yeah. I want you to do whatever I want. The world screams that all the time now, right? I want it my way. Have it your way, Burger King says. Well, I want it my way. You didn't do what I asked. And anybody in customer service knows how difficult it's going to be working with people, right? You can do all, you can bend over backwards to help people. And if a person's negative and bitter and grumpy, they're going to find something wrong with you, right? And now with Twitter and everything else, trolls, oh, you can't do anything right. Somebody will always be there, be the little Pharisee and say, no, this isn't right, that's not right, and I want this and I want that. Well, anyway, they want Jesus to do whatever they want. Now, if you were Jesus, how would you have handled that question? I know. Yeah. Stupid. What's the matter with you? Yeah. But Jesus is very calm about it. And he even asks them, what do you want me to do for you? That's pretty calm, right? Well, what is it that's so important that you think I'm just going to bow down to you and you want to die on the cross? You want to be really the Lord, and you know what that entails? But Jesus just asked them, what do you want me to do for you? They replied, well, let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory. Now, Jesus is thinking, again, the upside-down kingdom. The last shall be first. The first shall be last. The weak will be strengthened. The meek will inherit the earth. Those that give will receive, right? The top is the bottom. And leadership, it's servant leadership. The one who is great will be the servant. All this kind of stuff's upside down, right? Oh, it's turned upside down. And Jesus says, well, if you really want to do this, are you able? Do you know what you're asking? If you want to be right with Jesus, well, where's Jesus going in a few days? He's going on a cross. You want to come with me? Said, come on, sure. Okay. Where were you on Good Friday, the disciples? Were they still with Jesus? Want to be number one and number two, both sides of Jesus? No. They're gone. Sorry, see ya, bye. I don't know the man. Blankety blank, 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 Peter said. I don't know the man. Leave me alone. Well, there that goes. There's that faithfulness, that loyalty, right? And Jesus knew all this ahead of time. He knows the fickleness of our hearts, and yet he loves us anyway. And so Jesus very kindly says, well, are you able to do this? Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I'm baptized with? We can, they answered. Jesus sees the best in them. He says, you will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I'm being baptized with. Now, right to me, I'd say, you know what? Just get out. let's have two more leaders step forward, right? But he takes them where they're at and says, yeah, you will. You're certainly not there yet right now, but the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you and in you, and you will be transformed, you will be changed, and you will do this. Your hearts will be totally changed. You'll have a whole different attitude. Isn't it something how an attitude makes a difference, the way you look at things, right? It's a huge difference. Well, here we go. Jesus tells them what's going to happen and asks them if they can do it. They say, yeah, we can. He says, but, you know, even in that, it's not up to me to determine places in the kingdom in heaven. The Father determines that. Well, the rest of the disciples heard this. Verse 41, when the 10 heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. They're thinking the same thing, but they're criticizing James and John for saying what they thought, right? Because they're wanting to be in on it too. I want to be the greatest. I want to be number one. Because if Jesus is going to be dead, well, who's going to step forward? How about me? 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 No, I want to. No, I want to. Like a little bunch of kindergartners, right? And so they get all ticked off. So Jesus just brings them together. It's like a coach bringing a team that's all fragmented and all over the place. Okay, time out. Huddle up here. Huddle. Huddle. Let's get together. Let's get on the same page here. Let's remember the playbook. Let's remember the vision. What did we practice all this time? What did we talk about all this time in practice? And the coach says, here, this is what we need to do. And so Jesus brings all the 10, all the 12 back together. And he said, now you know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. This is the standard of leadership in the world. Not with you guys. Uh-uh. I don't want to hear about this. Not so with you. Instead, here's the upside-down kingdom. Whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let me ask you, when we see Jesus in the Scriptures, the Gospels, going out healing night and day, healing, exercising demons all day and night, do you see anybody showing concern for Jesus? Say, oh, here, can I help you? You don't hurt. He's serving. He does take time for his Father, and there's nothing wrong with that for a servant to get away. We are called to set boundaries, and sometimes people need to realize that, you know, there's a time where a person has to recharge their batteries. They can't always be there all the time, right? And so Jesus took time away, but very rarely, except for Lazarus gave him a house, right? One lady, before Jesus died, anointed his feet for burial with this very expensive perfume, but you don't see much of people wanting to help Jesus out. So Jesus focuses on serving others, right? And he said, that's why I came, to serve. And if the Son of God had the attitude, certainly we should as well. So again, the upside-down kingdom. And the last shall be first, the first shall be last. You want to be great, you got to be at the bottom. Upside-down pyramid of leadership development here, servant leadership. Jesus is trying to get this across to these disciples, and it does come through, finally, in the book of Acts, which is what we're studying on Wednesday nights. You finally see it, where Peter changes totally, James and John, Paul, this tremendous transformation that happens through the Holy Spirit, right? They get it. Last Wednesday, we had some real good discussion about what happened to the church to get so far off the track, where what's considered normal in God's eyes is abnormal or in the church. And Pastor Rick, being a good historian, reminded all of us that in what, 325, right? 320, around 325, there was a new emperor in charge. Constantine became a Christian. Well, that's great, except that he just made it very institutionalized. And I heard that one time he had a hose and just sprayed everybody. I baptize all of you in the name of Jesus, and you're all Christians. And it was just sort of an institutional, outward religiosity, not an inward transformation. And that's sad. When the church becomes that, it loses its power. It loses its energy. It loses its purpose and passion. And what happens to any organization if you lose your purpose and your passion for what you're doing? Fall apart, be it a team, a company, or whatever, it falls apart. And that's what happened to the church. And that's why there needed to be a restoration and a reformation, reforming what once was. And we're called to be reformers. We're called to reform and restore what once was. In the Garden of Eden, it was totally messed up, right? What the church was going the right direction. And Jesus said, don't do anything anymore, disciples, in your own power. You've done enough of that. From now on, just wait on the Holy Spirit. He told him, don't go anywhere. You stay in this upper room and don't get out of that house. Don't mess up anymore. Just stay there till you receive the Holy Spirit. Then you'll receive power and then go out. That's what the kingdom should be all about, right? It should be a kingdom of power. We talked about that Wednesday night. So having said that, it's all about Jesus, right? It's about God. It's depending on Him for every ounce of strength, every word we say, every action we do, we check it out with the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit about His vision, His direction for our lives. That's the direction we're supposed to have. But what happens? The world gets in our mind, in our thinking, and in our churches, and we start thinking. And what happens if we start thinking too much? What happens to me? If I start analyzing thinking, oh boy, I need to be still and turn this off and be still, the Bible says, and know that I'm God. Stop striving and let me, okay? So the kingdom is about God, the kingdom of God within us, right? And praise God that you get it here. But we need to be reformers out there. Wherever we go, we are called to be reformers and transformers. I remember that. My kids used to love transformers. More than meets the eye. Well, you should be a transformer more than meets the eye. Are you transforming people?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Well, good. Thank God for that. Thank God for that. You're trying. I know. God bless you. And may we depend on God's strength and His power to be transformers, to be reformers. And maybe we can't be all Martin Luther's. We can't be all Pastor Rick's. But we can use our personalities and our abilities, the way we're wired, to be what God's called me to be the best me I can be with Jesus. So we focus on Jesus. We focus on His death and His resurrection. We thank Jesus that He didn't give up. We thank Him for His tenderness with His disciples, that He's tender with us when we mess up. So this should be a good example. Or you think, oh, I've messed up so badly, He couldn't use me. Well, look who He used here. Look how they changed so much, right? Oh, man. You talk about exercising patience. So Jesus is very patient with us. And we should be patient with others. Because He's so patient, so loving, so giving. And with Thanksgiving coming up, and the holidays and Christmas coming up, we thank God for this great gift of salvation. And the kingdom, that we're part of that kingdom. And we can be in this world and we can try to turn things upside down and right side up. And just read the book of Acts. It's a great book to read. What happens when the world was turned upside down by Jesus' little disciples, that ragtag group that were empowered by the Spirit and lived in the power of Jesus and let Jesus, right, Daryl, work through them and not them working for Jesus. A big difference. And we pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for the kingdom. We're sorry, Lord, when we come into the church and we turn things upside down from what You want. But Lord, we're supposed to be turning upside down what the world has and be looking at things with Your perspective and with Your word, with Your wisdom, with Your power, with Your authority, and not ours. Help us, Lord, to empty ourselves of us and fill ourselves with You. We want more of You, less of me, more of You. We want to be more servants, Lord. We want to dedicate our lives right now to serving others. Not what I get out of this. It's not moving up in the world. It's not a sense of selfish pride and trying to climb the ladder. Lord, instead of climbing the ladder, we want to carry the cross. Because that's what You called us to do and to be. So Lord, use us this week. Use us in little ways. Just whatever small thing we can do in your name. To show love and hope and joy and peace to a messed up world. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.